Take your Bibles and stand with me if you can, if you're able, and turn to Hebrews chapter 11 as we continue on through this journey through Hebrews chapter 11. So we look at the faith of those who have gone on before us. We're going to look at verses 9 through verse 12. Starting in verse 9, it says, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable." Let's pray. Father, this morning again, we thank you for allowing us to meet together, giving us another day. Father, we know that every day is a gift from you. We thank you for this, and I pray, Father, that we'd be good stewards with the time. We thank you for your word and the opportunity to come here and to sit under the preaching and teaching of it. And Father, I pray this morning that we're going to learn some things that will draw us closer to you, that will increase our faith, that we could have faith like these that you've recorded for us in your word. And Father, I pray that as we look at each one of these, as we go through this week after week, I pray, Father, that we would realize that these were just ordinary people that you took, and by their willingness to be used by you, they're recorded here. I pray that we, too, would be willing to be used of you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I said, we're going to continue our journey through the Hall of Faith chapter, going to several scriptures in Genesis, but before we go there, we're going to go to Revelation, so if that helps any, get you started. We're going to go to opposite ends of the Bible, right? We're going to go to Revelation first, then we'll go to Genesis, and we'll spend a lot of time in Genesis. But it talks about the city which hath foundations is clearly a reference to the pearly white city, the city of the future home of the bride of Christ. So look at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 14. Revelation 21:14 says, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." Now, Sarah's faith in the birth of Isaac may seem out of place here, because at one time we see that when she first heard the announcement, what was her response? Unbelief. Unbelief, right? She didn't believe it. And we're going to see that when we get to Genesis 18. But here we see she's in here because of faith. Anybody doubt God and then later on believe what God said was true? Come on. Some of them are shaking our heads. But let's be honest. Have we ever doubted when God said something's going to happen and we go, I don't see how that's possible? Now, most of us would say, Sarah and Abraham, come on, Lord, really? Aren't they a little old for bringing up kids? Anybody here, where a lot of us are in about the same age group, some of us are a little younger, some of us are a little older, but anybody here think that it'd be a good idea my age to start another raising of a family? I don't think so. I think, first of all, I don't have enough energy for that, right? I just don't. I get winded working in the yard here at the church. I get winded going up the stairs. I just can't see it. But God said,
they're going to have a child in their old age.
And of course, we think, Sarah, really, how could you doubt?
God told you, would you doubt?
If God told you something that seemed humanly impossible, would you doubt?
Come on, of course we would. We're human, right?
So let's not be too hard on Sarah. You know, we have a tendency that when we read Scripture about people who made some mistakes, we immediately want to tear them down for the mistakes, but we don't want to look at the fact that they did some great things for God. And it all started with faith. You're not going to do great things for God unless you have faith that He is who He says He is, and that He is going to do them through you. So Sarah's little laughter bit turned into faith. She believed that God was going to do what He said. Let's turn over to Genesis 15, please. We're going to be in Genesis a lot, so you don't have to worry about Hebrews. There's a lot to be said in Genesis. We're going to look at chapter 15, verses 2 through 6. Starting in verse 2, it says, "And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Now, let's notice something here, that Sarah is not mentioned yet. Right? So Abraham's been told he's going to have offspring, right? Numerous offspring. Anybody been to the beaches and see how much sand is there? A lot of sand on a beach. Anybody study the stars and all? Do you know they keep coming up with new stars? Oh, there's a new one out there. It's always been there. God put it out there. I saw on a website one time where you can actually have a star named after you. I said, that makes people think that there's new ones, right? A brand new star that was just never been before, and it's out there now, and it's going to have my name on it. How many people are going to know that it's your name on that star? Probably not many. It's another gimmick. But they're all out there. Anybody want to spend any time counting them all? Way too many out there. And not enough time in my life, right? Let's look at chapter 17 of Genesis and look at 15 through 17. Verse 15, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?
we can see here Abraham wasn't flawless either, right? Really? I mean, let's say, God, you're really stretching it here. You have no idea what you're talking about, right? Does God ever make a mistake? Has God ever promised anything that he hasn't fulfilled? Well, the answer to that could be yes, because we haven't gotten to the rapture yet, right? And we haven't gotten to our home in heaven where we're going to spend all eternity. And we haven't gotten to the new heavens and the new earth. We haven't gotten to some things that God has promised. But it doesn't mean that he's not going to fulfill them just because we haven't made it there yet. Everything that he said would happen that has supposedly already occurred has occurred. So we can take that and say, with that, we have full assurance that he's going to follow through on the rest of his promises. Because God, who cannot lie, will not lie. Abraham found this promise pretty difficult to believe at first. Pretty difficult. He said, I don't know about this. And that's seen by what he said in his heart and by his request to God that the promises might center in Ishmael. And that's, look at verse 18 of chapter 17. It says, and Abraham said unto God, O that Ishmael might live before thee. Ishmael here was Abraham's son from Sarah's Egyptian handmaid, Hagar, which was Sarah's suggestion. And Ishmael's about 12 years old at this time. Look at chapter 16. We're going to look at 1 and 2 of chapter 16. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Any children that Hagar might have become Sarai's children. She will raise them as her own and considered her own. And Hagar was given to Abraham by the Pharaoh. Abraham told Sarah to pretend, right? Pretend you're my sister. Anybody find out that lies never work out well in the end? In fact, the Bible tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. I've always found that one lie leads to another, leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. And I have to tell you, there's some pathological liars out there, and if you're spending any time watching politics, you can find out that there's a lot of them. And they tell one lie, and then they come up with another one to try and cover that one up, and pretty soon they buried themselves in so many lies that they don't know the truth themselves. And so then you ask them a question about what they said, and they totally deny that they said anything even remotely close, and we live in a world of technology today. They just play it back for them, right? And they still deny it. See, because they can't do anything but lie. Well, Abraham thought, just tell them that you're my sister because sounds like a good idea, right? Because the truth would not have worked, maybe? I don't know. The truth is always going to be better. But see, Abraham thought, they'll kill me if they know you're my wife because you're so beautiful. Right? If they want Sarai, they have to kill Abraham because he's the husband and he's in the way, right? So, again, using human logic gets us in trouble every time. Abraham says, you're going to have to. You're going to have to tell him you're my sister. Now, it wasn't a total bold-faced lie, right? It was a half lie, right? Because we like to put them on a scale and weigh them out and say, well, it's not total. Because those of us who know, Sarah was actually Abraham's half-sister. So to tell him that you're my sister wasn't the whole truth, but it wasn't what he should have done, right? They had the same father, but they had a different mother. Turn to Genesis chapter 20 and verse 12. Some people are looking at me and saying, prove that. Well, I'm about to. Genesis 20 and verse 12. And yet indeed she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. See, it's important that we read all of the scripture and not forget what we read, right? So that we can put these things together. Pharaoh gave Abraham many gifts because Sarah, thinking she was his sister. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 14 through 20, we're getting a lot of scripture today. A lot of scripture today because it's important that we know exactly what transpired here. Verses 14 through 20 says, and it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why sayest thou she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her, go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. It's believed that when Pharaoh gave these gifts to Abram, that Hagar was one of the maidservants. When it states all that he had, it's all that Pharaoh had given to him. Take them and be out of here. Now the name Hagar signifies a stranger or sojourner, and it's likely she got the name from the family of Abram, as it is a Hebrew word. She is a figure of particular importance in the Islamic tradition, both as the mother of Ishmael, who she settled with near Mecca, and also the ancestor of the prophet Muhammad. Hagar is the first biblical woman after Eve that God spoke to directly. Another one of those things that we have to read and study to find these things, but it's in there. Back to Genesis 17, 19. Says, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Don't miss what God said here. It's very, very, very clear here that God said, I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. God's going to take care of that. God's going to see to it. And so, just who are the people of this covenant? Well, the promise includes Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's 12 sons, who are the head of the 12 tribes, which the world over are known as the nation of Israel. Verses 20 through 22 of chapter 17, it says, and as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Keep in mind, again, Sarah has not heard
that she's going to bear this son. Sarah still does not know that. Now, I'm thinking, Abraham, maybe you should have a conversation with your wife that God says she's going to bear a child, a son. Maybe she should know something. But we've got no record anywhere that Sarah knows about this. We've not seen anywhere that Sarah's been told or has heard or any of that. And she has decided that her and her husband are old. I don't know when you get to that point where you decide you're old, but sometimes the body says you're old. You try to do something and it says, you're not as young as you once were. But she says, we're old. And now we're told here that it will be at the set time next year. And God had only told Abraham at this point. And again, we're going to see Sarah's reaction when we get to chapter 18. But in chapter 18, the three men that show up and tell them, the Lord Jesus and the other two were angels. They were on their way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and other surrounding cities, of course. They knew that they would be visiting Abraham on the way. God's going to tell Abraham that he and his wife, Sarah, are going to have a son named Isaac. And God never does anything by happenstance. You know, it's all part of his plan. People think, well, it just happened to happen, right? No, God's got a plan, and God's going to make sure that his plan, regardless what man does, his plan is going to be fulfilled. It doesn't matter what we do, right? People say, well, yeah, because if Mary hadn't hearkened unto the voice of the angel and gone and accepted the call of God to bear the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then we wouldn't have had Jesus come and be... No, God could raise somebody else up, right? We all look at things and we say, humanly speaking, God cannot do this because what if man said no? Who are you to get in the way of God? Who am I to get in the way of God? God just wipe us out. We are just a speck on this earth. Dust, as a matter of fact. God doesn't need us. But we sure do need Him. And it is sure nice to submit to God and do what He's called for us to do, and to follow His lead, and let Him live through us, so we can be a part of what's going on. Because He didn't have to use us. Remember when He used the donkey to speak? Yeah. Does He need us? In fact, the Bible tells us that if these people be quiet, right, or silent, the rocks would cry out. Does God need us? No. But He wants us to be involved in His work. And we can be. We can be. The angel of the Lord, it's a Christophany, meaning an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus. Two of these heavenly visitors are referred to as men and also as angels in Genesis 19. They appeared as men. The Sodomites wanted to know them. The two destroying angels continue to Sodom, and they tell Lot in chapter 19 and verse 13. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. You know, every time I read that, I think back to many times over my life I've heard preachers say, well, if God doesn't destroy America, then He owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. God doesn't owe anyone anything.
Do you get that? Now, have we not waxed worse and worse here? Of course we have. I wonder how many cries out from those we have murdered to the ears of God. I wonder how long God will be long-suffering. We need to be careful. So now we get to chapter 18. Starting in verse 1. It says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do, as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him." Let's stop just a minute. This is the first record we have that Sarah has heard this. All of a sudden, Sarah's hearing this. Now, verse 11. "Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age." Now, this is God recording this, by the way, right? When God tells you you're old and well stricken in age, you're old and well stricken in age, okay? Let's continue on there. "And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way." Sarah did laugh, right? Anybody blame her? This is the first Sarah's heard of this. Abram had heard many times that his seed was going to be big, right? Huge. But the angel of the Lord gave a promise that in due time, Sarah would truly have a son. In due time. Sarah most likely did not recognize these people, right? She had no idea who these men were. She just heard from the tent these statements. And she's saying, wow, this is a bold statement for somebody to make that has no idea what they're talking about, right? I'm telling you. Why should I trust these people? She was in the tent, but she was close enough she could hear their words. She was not believing that these words were true. Remember back in Genesis 17:17 that we read, Abraham laughed when he heard it. Now, stranger that Abraham would laugh when he heard it, because Abraham's dad was 130 years old when he bore Abraham. See, they lived a lot longer back then. We think, man, 100 years old, I'll be lucky if I'm not, you know, in a coma or something for the last 20 of that, right? Were they going, no way. Anybody here want to make it to 100? I keep thinking that, the pain and the suffering is already too much for going that many more years. But whatever God gives us, right? He knows what's best. The Lord knew that Sarah had laughed in her heart, said she laughed in her heart. Not like she was rolling on the floor of the tent, right? She laughed in her heart, but the Lord knew. Many times do I have to tell us, the Lord knows our thoughts and the intents of our hearts. We don't even have to say it, we just have to think it. And He knows. And He rebukes her. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Of course not. And then what made the matter worse is she lied about laughing, right? She could have just confessed that, yeah, I did. I mean, she could have said, of course I did. I'm old. I'm past bearing children at this point in my life. Of course I laughed. But her conduct appears to be made even worse by lying about her laughing. It tells us, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee. What he's saying here is that he will return unto Abraham the ability to bear children at the appointed time and to know Sarah. And then, if we think about it, what happened after Sarah's death? Abraham married Keturah. And when Abraham married Keturah, Abraham had sons through Keturah. Okay, wait a minute. Abraham, you were too old back with Sarah, but now all of a sudden you got a new wife after Sarah died and you can have 6 more sons? I'm just saying, Abraham, why did you think that was so impossible, and now all of a sudden, look at chapter 25, verses 1 and 2. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 25, it says, Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. That's 6. Doesn't talk about any other daughters that may have. Even the Lord was born at a set time, right? When the time came, at a set time, the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Look over quickly over to Galatians 4:4. Oops. Brain's not working. Galatians 4:4. Galatians 4:4 says, But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. God not only rejuvenated Sarah's body here so she could bear a child, but also made it so that she could nurse the child. Genesis 21 says, starting in verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him.
And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now I had read about the weaning age in the Hebrew children was about 3 years of age. So she was able to do all of the motherly things that God has created because God took care of it. How many times, again, do we think that God is not capable of taking care of our minute little problems? They're so big, right? They're insurmountable when we're looking from here at them. But when we look through God and we say, God, this is my problem, this is my issue, this is what I'm dealing with, I'm going to let you take care of it. Because I know it's minuscule to you. And then let him do it. Then let him do it. The whole Jewish nation is the product of a miracle birth. Isaac. The Messiah of whom Isaac was a type would also be the product of a miraculous birth. More than anyone else, a Jew ought to be able to accept the supernatural birth of Jesus, for he himself is the result of Isaac's miraculous birth. See, we look at the impossible, and we get hooked on the impossible, and we forget the God of the impossible. Over and over and over, God has created such great miracles with things that we would say are impossible. Let's not give up on God. He hasn't given up on us. We may have failed him over and over and over and over and over, and you can put in as many overs in there as you want. But he's never going to fail us. And he's never going to forsake us. Thank God for the faith of Abraham and Sarah. Thank God. We can learn from them that, yeah, we can doubt. But let's not stay there. Let's get past the doubt and on to grasping hold of God and His Word. And believing the impossible is possible. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your